At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
To the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White. I am your host today on Keeping It Real on Purpose. It's a podcast for all around women where we challenge your everyday thinking and limiting beliefs around life, relationships, and of course your business or your career to help you live your life prosperous. So again, I am your host, Edna White, and what I do is I coach women of color to recognize who they are, where they are, when they are, and know what they want, for breaking generational habits and patterns, building them up mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and even financially, to live a life feeling confident and fulfilled, feeling no guilt, and having not to apologize to anyone about it. And today's guest, I am so excited to have her here today. And you know what? Audience, you know I did it again, right? I'm not going to mess her name up because it's too easy. So there, I know you're waiting for me to mess it up. It is Melissa Santana. When I first met her, I was drawn to her whole spirit. I want you to know everything about her is on fire. She's a millennial, a mom, and she is so on fire. She's going to have the best job making $1 million per year because I know she's going to do it. She currently serves, or I don't want to say serves, but she works with Say Yes Family Support. And she's a specialist. She's a specialist. And guess what she is? Bilingual. She's a peer educator and a coordinator for Planned Parenthood. Now, y'all know about that, right? All right. So she is doing it all. She's even dibbled and dabbed in violence prevention and action centers at John Carroll, or Carroll University. See, I messed that up. So you guys, you got the point for that. Carroll University. And she has the responsibility as the host for those programs. She presents and she trains as well. She has a host of skills, and I'm so excited to have her here because she is involved in campus activities, okay? And she even has something that has to do with, prior to that, she was in, Cleveland. Okay, she's part of a crisis center. And she's an advocate. She's a feet on the ground, not boots, because she took the boots off. And she is feet on the ground. She's one of those that have the interpersonal experiences. And she's passionate about what she does. And she is definitely on fire for the next career stage. She has a whole lot to say about millennials doing their thing and being aware and educated as they do it. And also being equitable when they also do it. But she doesn't have no issues because she's all about community and raising their awareness. She has a bachelor's in liberal arts. So don't get it twisted. You're not talking to a dummy and you're not listening to a dummy. You are listening to someone who's magnanimous. Melissa Santana, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. I was literally like, my cheeks hurt from smiling the whole time. Oh, guys, it's like the best presentation, like introduction ever.
You are worthy of every bit of it. Let me just tell you, I'm so excited that you're here. I would like you to tell us all about what you do and, you know, just tell us about you.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I will definitely say yes. And I am a very proud millennial. Even I got a shout out to my girl because she created this millennial and mommying group. So if y'all ain't a part of it on Facebook, check us out. But I do love being able to like carry all these different responsibilities. So I wear my millennial label, you know, very proudly. But yes, as mentioned, I definitely care a lot about prevention work. I care about the value of all those things, but all of that really started because it hit close to home. So I feel that whenever a lot of us advocate for a lot of these, you know, situations and things that are going on in our world, we've either seen it, you know, and been personally affected by it, or we've witnessed it and, you know, we feel like a change needed to occur. So I can definitely say that for me, both happened. I definitely grew up with a mother who unfortunately was in a domestically violent relationship. I wasn't there for the domestic violence. I was actually there when she was coping with it and had developed alcoholism as a coping mechanism. I get it now. I definitely think that as a kid, it was hard, right, to like recognize that. I just saw mom not being able to be a mom. You know, I just saw like got a lot of resentment towards her. I had a lot of, you know, mixed feelings. I used to keep to myself a lot. So what's funny is the very dynamic speaker before you, not the case. I literally was teacher's pet. I would only speak when told to speak, you know, when told to, like, rule follower. Like, it was just, you know, and I really, what was happening was, too, is that I actually loved the positive enforcement that I got at school. So because of that, I did whatever they told me to do. I'm like, oh, I like this. Like, then, you know, I get great grades. Like, you know, they give me compliments. Like, I get perks at school. So I, like, in, you know, completely focused myself into my education and, you know, really sought refuge there because I got a lot of the, and I got structure there that I wasn't necessarily getting at home. Okay. Because, you know, unfortunately, my mom was just, you know, she was dealing with her pain, you know, the best way she could. So that happened, and so I definitely have learned, not right away, but I definitely learned that I wanted to definitely advocate against, you know, violence and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Me personally, though, I thought I had, you know, I went to college, I did my thing, I got my degree, I was doing everything on time, and I'm thinking that as a result, I had broken all the generational curses. I'm like, you know, I'm good, like, I'm doing good.
Yeah, we do that.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? I'm on a good path, like, I'm doing great. So then, but unfortunately, what I didn't realize was even though I had not been there for the domestic violence that my mom experienced, I did find myself in an unhealthy relationship. And I'm like, dang, like, how did I find myself to be in a, and it was similar. It was similar, like, some tactics that she had experienced in hers, I now learned were in that relationship. It was with, you know, a person who I married. I had 3 children with this person. Met them in high school, you know, had known them, but like, so unfortunately there was, you know, a lot of unhealthiness. And, you know, in the process, I wouldn't even just say just them, I would also say that for myself. Right. I really learned like where I was vulnerable, where I hadn't really like believed in myself and just kind of like, you know, hadn't really stepped into the value of my worth and how that put me in vulnerable places. Right. So it was, you know, even though it turned my world upside down when the relationship ended, it definitely also set me on a totally different path. Like, I realized, like, I really had to choose myself. I really had to make better decisions. And honestly, I really did it not just for myself, but for my children. Right. So I had, like, early on, I had said, like, I want them to have better. You know, you always want better for your kids.
Oh, sure.
You're always like, you know what? They're going to have better than what I did. Right. They're going to, like, you know, they're going to take the, I went to the moon, they're going to go to the star.
Right.
Like, they don't take it all the way. Like, you know, I'm going to set it up for them and all that. But especially with this relationship, I really had to, you know, ask myself, is it better to stay and be unhappy?
Right.
Or is it better to leave? Right. And like, give them better. Like, I want them to know what healthy looks like. And so I know if it's not here, then, you know, do that. It was not an easy decision to have 3 kids and be single. No. But do I regret it? Absolutely not. I mean, and I'll definitely say that now they, you know, we have the most incredible conversations, my little tiny humans. Mm-hmm. They're like, we have the most incredible, they have the, like, I swear they've been here before, my sure. kids, I'm not gonna lie. I know everybody probably says that, they sure. all brag on their children, but my babies are amazing. But I also just feel like I can, you know, I've also learned the freedom that comes with vulnerability, and mm-hmm. I share that with them. So instead of thinking that, like, oh, we don't need to, like, talk about certain things, or, like, if I make a mistake, you know, I'm going to keep that from them. I don't. You know, I welcome them in the journey. We right. have those talks. So, like, we have talks about that. For New Year's Eve now, our new tradition is that we have a little manifestation ceremony. So we burn our sage, we get our candles going, and we, like, you know, we really set, you know, honestly, like, you know, things that we want to manifest for the year, like things right. we want to leave behind, and then things we want to, you know, so things that we would like to achieve. And so, you know, that's like a great tradition. So it's been things like that. Mm-hmm. But then even with the things that I get paid to do as well, like, it's just been amazing to be able to culminate all of that. And so I've taken all of that and that, you know, everything I've learned in the different arenas. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I do a variety of things now. I, like, I'm co-host of a show where I got to meet the amazing Edna White. I also, like, the work that I do for Planned Parenthood, I actually do that as a contractor, so I'm not even, like, a full-time employee of theirs.
Yay!
It's like a contractual position, you know what I'm saying? Getting contracts over here now. Yes. And then the family support work is work that I also get to do where it allows me to be in a school, because I do love education as well. Like, as mentioned, I did, you know, work at a campus before, and I just think, as a mom, but then also just as a person who advocates for others, I do think that our youth doesn't always get a lot of credit. And right. I just think that, you know, their voices should be amplified. So I love to be among the people that do that. And so mm-hmm. the fact that I get the opportunity to engage with young folks, but then also advocate for issues, the fact that I get to do all of that, literally blessed. Like, I just cannot complain, because those are all of the things that I have, like, passion, you know, that I care right. about. Yeah. And so, you know, being able to do that. So getting paid for it is a plus. But some of the things I do, like with the co-hosting and things like that, those are just things that I like to do, you know, in right. my spare time. So I definitely, you know, try to always be available. And whenever, you know, people need advocacy services, I don't always provide them on a paid basis. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm also, you know, make myself available, you know, when need be, in different, you know, atmospheres.
Okay.
So that's a little bit about me.
That is a whole lot, because you talked for 10 minutes. So I'm going to unpack the bag. I'm going to roll the tape all the way back, because she done gave us some jewels, audience, ladies and gentlemen, children, boys, and girls. Okay? So I'm going to take it all the way back. So let's go back to generational curses, habits, and patterns. So you talked about that. I want you to share with the audience when you've seen it. How did you see it? That you were replicating that?
Yes. Oh, man. I would definitely say that it really started, it definitely started in my childhood, of course, early on. But what was interesting was as mentioned, with my mother, but it was even directly with a sibling that I have that of course I could hold near and dear to my heart. So I actually saw it in several generations. He actually is about 15 years older than me.
Right.
And so even his time, I don't know what that's called. I know a millennial for me. Yeah. He was born in the 70s. I'm not sure.
He's a generation X like me.
Okay. Well, there we go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So definitely that period. But yeah, he was, you know, I seen some things occurring with him. And so, like, some of the alcoholism did not escape all of us. And so I saw right. it, when I saw the repeating of it, that's when I really started. You know, it was honestly, it piqued my interest. At first, it just kind of piqued my interest. Like, I feel like this is this thing that people, like, seem to, you know, experiment mm-hmm. with in our family, like, you know, and all of that. That whole making the connection with it being a generational curse, I probably didn't make that connection until I was in, like, college, to be honest. Because, right. like, I think that, yeah, before that, it was like, oh, I see that it's something that's happening, but I didn't always have that terminology. Right. And I feel like I didn't always have that language mm-hmm. until I had people, the right people that were on my path to help me learn what that was. And I was right. like, wait, there's a term for this? Like, this is a thing? Like,
I'm a thing? We a thing?
Right. And then the need to break it. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we gotta get rid of this. Like, I don't want to be part of this cycle if that's what this is.
Right. That's excellent. I like that. I like the fact that you realized that I got to break it, because many people put aside generational habits, curses, and patterns. They put it on the rug, and they walk, kind of cover it up with a rug, and they kind of walk over it, keep walking over it, and not deal with it. And it's important to know that in order to know what you know or what you found out, you had to be in a different place. You couldn't be around the same folks. You had to be in a different place and more education. And it's not even about school education. It's about the wisdom, the awareness. Talk about, we're going to go back to your daughters on New Year's. Talk about them and with the awareness. How did you start bringing in the awareness to the next generation?
Woo, man. That is definitely, well, and then that's the thing. I think I want to start with the fact that they have actually, so it's definitely been a two-way street. I would definitely say that I did not realize how much, you know, I could, you know, bestow upon them, you know, different lessons and different values, but also just the incredible power of what.
I hear them. I hear them.
Right. I'm like, hold on, girl. But like the incredible power of what they could actually teach me. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely feel like that has been one of the most transcending things with mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. is that, you know, just that opportunity and being able to open myself up to that opportunity mm-hmm. and like what it is that they can also like teach me and be able to provide. So really what's been helpful for us have been those conversations, as right. I mentioned. So like right. they really started off to, they've been in different ways. So some of them have been restorative conversations. Mm-hmm. So they see a lot. And mm-hmm. so I, you know, there's something that I, you know, you try to shield your kids as much as possible. And right. like, if you could like have them live in a bubble, which I've actually learned, like is not effective. I definitely think that was one of my, right. That was one of my first lessons as a parent. Like, first of all, the bubble is kind of false. I mean, it's not real.
It's not
you
real.
Can't really
no.
maintain that. Exactly. You ain't going to maintain that bubble. Like, you can try.
Right.
But you're going to spend
a whole lot.
Exactly. It's going to pop. It's going to pop at some point.
Yeah, it's going
to
real pop.
So, like, you're going to spend more energy trying to maintain that bubble when, it, like I said, it's not there. But also, your children are not really going to learn if you create that. So, like, you can try. You could definitely, like, shield them, shelter them. But they really are going to have to experience life to really learn things. And so, right. you got to be able to let them, you know, take right. that lesson.
Right.
And so we definitely had that. So some conversations have definitely been restorative in the fact that things that they've seen, you know, whether it's, you know, even by me, like mm-hmm. I've allowed them to tell me, like sometimes tell me things like, what do you think are things that, you know, could be going better at home? Like, you know, are there things here that are stressing you that are not, you know, helping you to be the best version of yourself, you know, and all of that. And like, you know, what can we do? So we do a lot of that, but also, and there's three of them, which you'll hear some of them now. and so they definitely have different personalities. And so like sometimes, yep, there are days where they definitely get along and it's great. But then there's also sometimes where we need to be able to, and we'll do that too. We've also had like circles. I've actually had them like sit in circles together and have to like say something like a positive affirmation right. about the person. So yeah, we've definitely done that. And what's interesting is all these things that I mentioned, including the New Year. So I appreciate that you mentioned that. That New Year's tradition was one that speaking of, you know, purging the old and like taking on new, I have been very intentional about who I follow now, you know, what energies I'm right. around. And so even on my social media, so I would definitely say that on social media, for example, especially like, you know, new one for me as a millennial, Instagram. So Instagram was not something I had never heard about years ago. I think it's hilarious. Like the things that we have gone through. And that's why I love being a millennial, because I didn't see cassette tapes. And then now we have like, you know, AirPods and
right,
like,
right.
you know, I'm going
for like, in the air, in the cloud now. It's nothing.
We're just in the cloud now. Exactly. Right, you don't have to walk around with anything. I remember Walkman, like CDs. It's just funny. So I feel like it's such an interesting generation to have been a part of. But definitely like, especially on there, I'll follow different individuals and they actually mention the importance of doing that. So they like talked about, you know, the healing practices and just having mm-hmm. grounding methods. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about crystals online from things like that, having your chakras in order. So I was like, once I got a little taste, I was like, oh, I need to learn more about this. Like,
right.
what is this? Like, what can I do? How can I open myself up to that? Right. How can we bring in more of that positive energy? And so we definitely, with the New Year's, for example, it was something that we kind of like, it was a mixture of traditions. And that's something that we've also been open to doing. So it's not only like, you know, providing all these different opportunities, you know, allowing them to teach me as much as I'm able to teach them, mm-hmm. you know, engaging in conversation, being open and honest, but it's also blending traditions. So they are, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm fully Puerto Rican, and their father is African, I guess, politically correct term is African-American, but Black. And so they are mixed, and so they have their different traditions, and so we love to also infuse things like that. So that's the other thing that we'll do is that we'll blend a lot of those different beliefs. And I love, like, being just kind of like a chameleon in that way. Like, I don't like ascribing to one particular thing or feeling like it needs to be strict. I love having fluidity with how we follow things. Mm-hmm. And so that's also been a super fun thing to do, and letting them be part of that celebration, however we do it.
So that's like wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. And I want to bridge the gap between the Generation X and the Millennial. I know there's another little generation in there, but I'm talking about Generation X, which I am. And I have seen the cassette tapes. I have seen the VHSs. I have seen the 8-tracks. And I'm able to, as you said, be vulnerable and be able to learn what you know and be able to hear and love what you know. And that's what I call a blessing. You know, when you're blessed to be able to bridge a gap. And I love what you said, a lot of the Generation X families, parents, have to do a lot of restorative work because we didn't learn any better until our 40s. Whereas you learned in your way 20s, early 20s, or late 20s into the 30s, right? So you learned awareness. Absolutely. For the Generation X, we didn't wake up until the late 40s, 45, 46. Awareness started taking effect. And I really think that's a blessing to know that, you know, okay, now I know that what I've done wrong. Now I have to go and do some restorative work. And my children, my youngest is 31. My only daughter is 37. And my oldest is 40. So a lot of restorative work, a lot of clear, transparent work has to be done. And it's so very important to take a page from your book to say, let's blend things. Let's mend and blend. And Generation X audience, you all out there, you did something wrong. It's okay to say sorry. It's part of blending and mending. So I want to say this for what my guest has said today to us, is that it's important to know that we have to bring all of what we learned into that awareness, and then now say, let's next steps. What are we going to do with this? We got this here. What are we going to do with it? And we be clear, and we be transparent, and we also be vulnerable. Those are three things that we need. I love that you said that, because you touched my heart with all of that. You really, really did. Melissa, you really did. And I appreciate that. So now I want to ask you, now, in all of what you were doing with your children, now let's transcend all of that. Now we're going to go towards the business world and your career. And you said to us that you are a consultant in your field. Okay? And you're not employed by anybody. Say that again. Hello. You're making your dreams come true.
Yes, I'm a consultant. I am not employed nor owned.
Right, you're unbossed and unowned, okay? So,
absolutely.
In that transition, when did that take place? When did that say, you know, I'm not going to work for somebody. I have the power and the wit and the education and the knowledge and the wisdom to do it myself as a consultant. When did that take place?
It was definitely a mixture of things that took place for that. And you know what's funny is that thing that we are still dealing with, this lovely pandemic.
Yes.
I would definitely say, like,
introduced.
Which hasn't ended. It's just kind of funny, right? It's a weird reality to live in where it's like, it's not done, but we're kind of like.
No, we got five more years, sister. We got 5 more years.
Pretty much. Okay. Right, man. But definitely 2020. So what was interesting was 2020, I was at the John Carroll. And it's funny, yep, John Carroll. It was hilarious when you said that the listeners got a point. You said Coral at first, but yes, it was hilarious to me. But yes, John Carroll. I was actually at the campus job, and I was sitting, like, really comfortably, you know, because it was, like, a, you know, employment job. It was also helping cover graduate school. So, you know, I was like, oh, cool, this is good. Yeah, like, I like this. And it's funny because I had just gotten employed there, so I definitely wasn't thinking about leaving. I'm like, I just got here, like, you know, this is good, it's helpful to me, and I like what I'm doing. But it was, but yeah, little did I know, a couple months, you know, after the school year, once, you know, going into it, there would be this pandemic that would turn all of our worlds upside down. So, like, I definitely was not spared, like most of you, you know, so I definitely got shooken up by that. They actually eliminated the position altogether. So it wasn't even just like a layoff. They literally told me, you cannot occupy a position that no longer exists. That is like how it was worded. So I was like, wow, that's the craziest, firing or whatever you want to call it type of situation. But of course they were still like very kind about it, right? They were like, oh, well, you know, but nothing about your performance. Like, it was nothing you did. You're actually very well respected on the campus. I'm like, yeah, but it was funny because to me it still felt like a breakup. I was like, all right, but we still breaking up, right? Like, we still not together. Like, no sense of resolution. Like, y'all still saying no. So that's what it felt like. So I had to, you know, you want to, when things like this happen, you almost want to like revert back, right? Because it did kind of remind me of rejection. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, oh, see, here I am again. You know, I had a failed relationship. I've had all these issues, and here I am with this. So, you know, I almost wanted to do that. But it's something that I often like to tell other people is that I did visit the land of grief, you know what I mean? But I chose not to live there. I definitely, I took a little visitor's pass, but I chose not to stay. I was like, yeah, I've seen this. I've been here before. This looks familiar, but I'm going to go ahead and leave because I got to do more. So I definitely had to, if I hadn't been aware of like what my worth was prior to that, I mean, now I honestly didn't even have a choice. So it was kind of like, okay, you could or you could not, and just, you know, continue to cry, just stay there, live there, and just whatever. But or you could get up, you know, and realize what you got, all the experience you have, and go ahead and put that to work. So I definitely sought after you know, different opportunities, like with Planned Parenthood. That was actually an opportunity that, crazy enough, I had in the past actually applied for a position, and same thing, they had actually told me, you know what, we don't actually have anything currently open. I wish I could have brought you on as a manager because of the experience you have, but because we don't have that, you know, I don't want to insult you with the current, you know, opening we have, but I would like to keep your resume on file, you know, in case something else comes up. So it's interesting because I planted that seed. And I, same thing with them, though. I was like, okay, that's something nice that you say, but I know I'm probably never going to hear from them again. That's probably just something they say to everybody. And no, sure enough, a year later, when I was over here in the midst of, like, putting all my things together, you know, and patching things together, sure enough, they did call, and they said that not only did they have this unique opportunity, but it would be like this, where I would be a contractor, I would be able to pick my own hours, you know, when I'm able to do the work, that I would be able to showcase the different things that I, you know, had let them know that I had knowledge in. It was amazing, definitely, yeah, like, incredible. And of course, as a mom, because y'all heard the kids, they here. Like, you sometimes have to balance, you know, being all those things. So when you get an opportunity like that, where you're able to have that kind of freedom and flexibility, that's a game changer. Just because, you know, you're able to then do what you can and be able to put other needs and priorities first. So that was amazing. So I would definitely say that was step one. But honestly, the biggest barrier I had to learn was myself, you know, and I had to really come to terms with the fact that I hadn't believed in myself enough before that to think that I could do things like that. So I wasn't even putting myself in positions to be noticed for things like that. So once I realized that, I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta stop doing this. Like, I really need to be able to, you know, like, showcase myself better, you know, meet more people, and also let the authentic connections happen. And so, like, as long as I continue to move in the world as my genuine self, I feel that the right opportunities will come to me. And I won't have to, you know, it really showed me that, like, I won't have to always chase them. I'll actually, the universe is going to look out, and then those opportunities will be presented to me. So yeah, I've been taking that. I've been taking that ever since.
Okay. So I'm going to unpack the bag again, because you gave us a whole lot of knowledge in a little bit of time. I'm going to step way back, and you said something about moms. So you transitioned. I was going to try to jump in there, but it was too good to jump in. And you transitioning in the balance between being moms and working. How do you balance that?
I would definitely say that is a balancing act. And see, and even today, this was like a good day to be able to do it. But you see, like I said, that they still want their attention when they want. No, I would definitely say that is constant. Honestly, I've been evolving as with them, to be honest. So like, the thing too, with, you know, being able to balance, being a mom and like also the different ventures that you're in, what I've learned is you just got to really be able to no multitask like no other is what I've learned. Like,
right.
I think that should be its own, you know, thing. I feel like we should definitely get paid. I think we should get paid just for that. Like, the fact that we're able to
do it. That's a skill all by itself.
Yes, exactly. Because I'm like, yeah. And I've learned, too, that, and what's interesting, though, is that I will say, so, like, for those who are thinking, like, you know, the real actor folks, I definitely want to tug on y'all for a second. I will say that, honestly, some of it actually reminds me of the stuff that I used to do in college, pre-kids. But it really, like, those skills that you are doing, you know what I mean? Whenever you're, like, balancing a lot of stuff, that's gone. You're going to be able to take that, you know, in the future and be able to use it. Because I used to be that one, like, night owl, would stay up, get all the projects done. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I would always do all those things. And it's funny because, like, now I stay up for other reasons, you know what I'm saying, and do other things. But it served me well because now I know how to, like, you know, when I – and also I think what I've learned, too, though, is that with energy, because I also, you know, love things about energy and all that, I know when I'm at my best, right, and when I'm not.
Yeah.
And so I've learned how to, like, you know, I can perform and do a lot of things during this time, and then there's other times where I can't. And the other thing is, I don't apologize if I'm not able to show up for certain things. So, like, if there's some days where I don't, like, you know, have it in me or I can't, you know, perform at that time, I don't try to push myself past my limits. I'm not good for anybody when I'm not good for myself. So I've learned how to do that. But to be honest, okay, so like today, for example, I started learning how to maximize my time when I'm there. So my daughter actually just had my middle child. She had a makeup class today, so she had a little gymnastics class. But I was like, do they have Wi-Fi there? Yes, they do. So I actually also tutor on the side. I didn't even say that, but I do tutor Spanish. So speaking of bilingual, I tutor both. Like, I teach some people Spanish who want that, and I also teach English to Spanish speakers. So, yeah, you know, I had to schedule. I was thinking, like, oh, when are we going to schedule the session? I know the one, you know, client that I had, you know, needs to get in. So I was, like, trying to figure that out. And I was like, I will be at this gymnastics class for an hour, and they got Wi-Fi, so let's just, why don't we just schedule it then? So I was sitting up there while they were doing their thing, you know, still doing it. So she's over there active, you know, involved in her sport, you know, excelling, doing what she needs to do. And I was over here making money, honestly, while she was over there doing her gymnastics. So I was like, why not? So I've learned how to, and these are things that I used to think I didn't have to do. I thought that you were, like, as a mom, I should, like, be fully present, and she needs to see me at every minute of that lesson. No, she doesn't, ma'am, because she has a coach, and she's going to be able to still get instruction. I can still be right there to cheer her on, but that doesn't mean that I need to, like, be everywhere all the time. One, because I cannot, and two, because it's going to start to take its toll on me, and when I used to try to do things like that, it did. Until I realized, like, where, like, if you really do have freedom and flexibility in your schedule, the only way you're going to have that is if you take ownership over it and really take that control that's there. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was there. Once I did, I was like, oh, we're not putting this down. Like, I'm going to use this. But I honestly had to realize it was there to begin with.
Right.
And that I have, and in the process, I really had to come to terms with the control that I have over my life. And to be honest, I think growing up, I didn't think that I was in control of things. And so, like, I know that, you know, for anybody who's a survivor of trauma, that is a big lesson, right, to learn. Like, that, you know, you get that control stripped from you, so it takes a while to really realize, like, no, you, that, first of all, that shouldn't have happened to you, but you deserve to not only, you know, be in control of your life, but live a happy life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to work on that ever since. Like,
That's excellent. That's really a good point. So I spoke today to a millennial early this morning. Critical situation, you know, they were married like you, young. Me and you both. I married young. Didn't want to, but thought that was the thing to do, you know. And said to me, you know, what do I do? I don't have enough. I don't have enough time in the day. I said, no. All of us have the same 24 hours, and whether you got 7, 10, 4, 3, 1 child, we all got 24 hours in a day. It's about time management and what we, and our priorities. Because then we have to learn to say, like you just said, no, and you don't apologize for it. It's not a comma, like no, and start explaining why you're not going to be there. It's no. It's just simply no. So I like that you're saying it as a millennial. You're saying you don't apologize for not being somewhere. And my generation says no with a period.
Absolutely.
You know, and I like that. Absolutely. I like that. And that's bridging a whole lot of gaps that you don't even know. And let me just tell you this. I can relate to you with all over the place. Like, you know, we're doing all these things, the skills. soon you're going to get into a place like I am. All of it blends. You're doing good with it now, but all of it blends together that you become a full consultant, an expert. And I can't wait to hear your voice say, I did it. I'm an expert. I'm making, you know, six figures right now. I'm making seven figures being a consultant. I can't wait to that day. I can't wait because I know it's coming because it happened for me. You know, it's like, whoa, I don't have to work for somebody. I can work with somebody and they don't have, I can be unbossed and unbiased and everything. You know, I don't have to have nobody on me, which is great. And I love what you said about that. And audience, you know, we're loving Melissa right now. We're loving her. She got to come back. She got to come back because she got all this millennial madness, millennial magnitude, all of that. She got it all. And I want her back. You know, we want her back. When you hear this, I hope that you reach out. I know that she doesn't have her own station, but I'm pretty sure she might just gravitate with you and have you in the mommy group, you know, the millennial mommies group. So that'll be something. I'm already thinking about some millennials that I've worked with on the radio show that I'm definitely going to connect you with. I mean, they're definitely feeling it. They're the same thing they're feeling. So I'm excited about that. Audience, I'm really excited about Melissa. I really am. I think I know that. I really feel I know your family already. So funny. So
yeah, baby. Yeah, I'm gonna send them over to you after this.
Oh no! Thank you. But no, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you've been here before. You were
here. Yes, I've been there. I ain't going back. Because right. I told the young lady I was talking to today this morning. I said, if a man, when I was 45, a man would said if I was dating somebody and said he wanted to have kids, I'd probably smack him. Like, really, seriously, are you out of your mind? But needless to say, I digress. You know, some people love children. I love them, but there's a time for enough.
No, amen. Well, and I'm glad that they're getting old. I'm not going to lie. I celebrate their birthdays because I'm a birthday like person.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I really get excited about them. Yeah. But I'm also like, ooh, y'all getting older. Y'all can start doing
closer,
more.
It's closer.
Y'all can watch dishes now. Let's go.
It's closer. And that's important. Okay, so now you said a great thing. It's important to know that you're training up a child in the way that it should go, right? That he or she should go. And we don't know it, but we're training children to be adults. We are, right? And if we don't instill in them time management, responsibilities, things like that, you know, pick up your clothes, things, we run amok and they run amok. And then guess what happens? We're crazy. We start getting burnt out. I like that you said that, you know, they're doing this. I don't have to, I'm not helicopter mom on top of them. You know, I'm not advocating, oh, you know, this one don't do this. And, you know, and this one's better than, you're not over them. And that's really great. And it's good for parents to hear that, both Generation X, you know, baby boomers, millennials. We need to know that we need to give our children the opportunity to flourish.
Oh, yes. And I just want to add, like, to be honest, too, I will say that even like at the park, because I've seen it. I've seen like the parents that be like hovering and like, oh, my gosh, they're going to fall, whatever. What's interesting is that there's been things that my daughters have been fearful of. And I've been close by. You know what I mean? I'll be close by. But I was a couple times I actually did it on purpose. I was like, oh, you know, just try it real quick first and then I'll help you out, like monkey bars, just even simple things like that. And I'm telling you that it was the minute they knew that I wasn't there and I wasn't serving as their crutch and wasn't, you know, going to be immediately there and they were going to have to rely on themselves. Hello, they blossom. So I just was like, sometimes I feel like that's what it takes. Like, and I just think like you have to be able to instill some the independence. And because the reality is that, you know, I love us as parents, but we really aren't going to always be there. And I don't want to set that up. Like, I would love for my babies. I love them. Yes, like you said. Right. But like, speaking of endings, I want them, you know, I want them to want that. I want them to want their own futures without me in it the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely want them to desire that, to crave that, and then I'm putting them on the path for that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want it to be that, yeah, they're always relying on me. And I think that's unfortunately the unhealthy thing we set up, right? Is that we want to show them we care, but if we don't, right, we don't know where to pull those reins back, then they're always going to rely on us to provide that care instead of like seeking it within themselves.
Right. That's so true. So very true. So audience, you know, we want to thank Melissa Santana for being here. We want to love her even more because she's going to be the sole consultant, the millennial consultant that has it all down. I just know it. I'm going to look at her LinkedIn page and it's going to be like full of stars. And I just know it. I feel it coming on. So audience, we want to root her on, right? So this part I really love because this is the part that we get a feel of who you are in real life. So Melissa, my audience and I want to know, if we were to give you a billboard, let's say you live in Ohio, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
put it right on the highway, a big white billboard, and you could put anything you want on there. What would it be?
Ooh, I like this question. Okay. let's see. I feel like, okay, so there's like a lot of sayings that like I love, but I feel like one of them that like immediately when you asked that question for some reason came to mind was like, don't just live, thrive, essentially. Ooh. So, like, I don't know. For some reason, as you said it, I was just like, ooh, I feel like that's the one I would put. You know, somebody gave me the opportunity. But, I would want to put, don't just live, thrive.
That's good. That's good. And so, okay, audience, drum roll. If you had to pick a last meal, what would it be?
Yeah, last meal? Oh, no. I'm on my way out. Oh man, not even cool. Well, let's see here. Okay, so the Puerto Rican. So I will say that, like, I actually love my my mama's, because you know nobody can love mama.
Yeah.
So my mama's bistec con totones, which is it's really like beefsteak with like fried plantains, and that's the other thing. Fried plantain. I thought it was hilarious the first time my mom even got hip to the fact that Puerto Ricans are not the only ones. I'm like, mom, this is a Caribbean thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to find this all over. But my mom, like, I got a little bit more traveled than her, you know what I mean, as an older. So it's funny, like, speaking of bridging gaps. Oh, man, and all that. But, yes, definitely her bistec con totones go in. So, mom, shout out to you. Could use that this week, actually. You cooking, I'm coming.
I'm stealing that from you, cooking, I'm coming. Okay, I'm stealing that.
Yeah, is that?
I'm going to get a shirt, man. You cooking, I'm coming. I'm going to get a shirt, man, on that. I'm going to put your name on it, too. Well, this is Santana setting.
Pretty much. We doing
love it. Love it. You cooking, I'm coming. I love it. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I got excited about the food. Go ahead. So that will be your meal? That will be your meal. No drinks, no dessert.
But dessert. Okay, so this doesn't even go with that. But on the dessert side, I love red velvet cake. Like, what? I love me some red velvet. I also love anything chocolate. And so, like, hello, I just, let's go. Like, as long as it's chocolate related, I'm there. And on the drink side, so I do love a variety of drinks. But, like, it's funny because speaking of Puerto Rican, there is this drink called Malta. Puerto Ricans don't know what that is. Yes. Okay, thank you. All right, Malta. But, you know, some people, I tried that in college. Like, I had started a Latino organization in college because I went to, like a more predominantly white institution. Mm-hmm. So I tried to bring Malta to the campus, and they was like, ooh, what is this? It's an acquired taste.
It is.
Yeah, if you didn't grow up on it, I feel like you can't appreciate it. You just can't. It's all right.
It's very acquired. You have to be worldly to appreciate it, and you can't drink a lot of it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It is a little bit too rich, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I feel like I'm not going to drink it every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I'm indulging, you know, I love my little, like, full Puerto Rican experience. I need that. Or a cola champagne, which is hilarious because that's more like a sparkling soda.
Okay.
I drink that sometimes, too. So, Or, like, and shout out because I'm in Ohio, like, in Cleveland. So there is amazing bakeries, y'all, on the west side. So I know people don't ever say they're going to Cleveland for vacation. I get that. But I love my city, though. But we do have some banging bakeries. So if y'all ever want some authentic Puerto Rican food, don't count us out.
All right. So you know I'll be there in the summertime, not in the winter. No.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yo, because our snow is something serious.
So your snow is fierce. Your snow is fierce, okay? Takes people out full way. Take them out.
Right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, children, boys and girls, This brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks to our guest, Melissa Santana, for joining us during this Keeping It Real on Purpose with the discussion of millennials, with the whole magic. She got some magic, okay? She got magic. She's a mom. She's got it all. I will say that I am so proud to know her. I am better because I know her. And I thank you, and I hope that this whole topic has been beneficial to you. As always, I want to thank you for listening to Keeping It Real on Purpose. And remember to always draw abundance, have happiness, and a whole lot of fun. And this is Edna White and my super magnanimous, marvelous, lovely Melissa Santana. We bid you goodbye tonight. Bye now.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you. And I hope everyone, wish everyone the best as well.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.